Okay, we're going to talk about now is attributes. And I've already got open my digitized trees from Humboldt County and the parcel shapefile that we downloaded before for Humboldt County. Right click on the parcel shapefile and open the attribute table. You'll see there's quite a few attributes associated with this, with the features in the shapefile. We've got area, looks like that's probably meters, perimeter. We've got the zoning associated with the property, agriculture, rural residential, all kinds of different zoning codes. And then we have some other things, acres and some other ones, I don't really know what they are. But that's okay, I'm just kind of showing you what's going on here. So the attribute table is something we'll use all the time when we're dealing with vector data. It's incredibly valuable, a number of things you can do with it. First, when we were using the info tool before and clicking on the shapes inside the shapefile, this information that was coming up for us, saying things like open space, parks, that's actually coming from the attribute table. In fact, this is simply a list of the attributes for that area that we clicked on. When we click on something here, it brings that up, shows us the attributes. We can also do a select, this tool, click on a parcel to select it, and now it's going to have that one selected in the attribute table. However, in a large shapefile, those are hard to see, except that down here we have select and show all and show just selected. As soon as we click on show just selected, we just see the parcels that are selected here underneath my cursor. We can move around, click on different ones, and see the attributes just for those spaces. So the attribute table, info, select, all work together to help us see what's going on with our spatial data. Now, the attributes are extremely important because what they add is they add a lot of information to our spatial data. We no longer just have an area on the ground. We now have meaning to that area. And that meaning can be all kinds of things. Area and perimeter are extremely common. Classifications like zoning are very common. Let's say we're going to do trees. Think about what type of information would you have with a tree. You might have species, height. Foresters would probably have diameter, breast height. Folks that are tree ecologists might have the information on the health of the tree. Folks that are into wildlife or birds might have what birds that they see in the tree. So the information can vary quite a bit, which is where attribute tables are really very powerful. So let's go ahead and take a look at our tree table. And you can see it doesn't actually have anything in it right now except the shape and an ID, and the ID field is all zeros, so not really valuable yet. But let's go ahead and click here. Next to this icon, you'll find the down arrow, and there we can add a field to our table. So let's say we're going to put in species, which would be a fairly common one. Now, if we're going to put in species, we have to have a data type that allows us to type in text. That's called text. Okay, there is a length property. It's 50. Don't worry too much about it. That should be fine for us. You can actually only take it up to, I believe, 250 characters, but 50 should be fine. Then let's go ahead and create another one, another field for height. Now, when we look at the types, there really aren't a lot of types. These are typical types that are available in most computer programs. Short integer, long integer, float, double, text, and date. We'll talk a little bit more about the range of these values, but the bottom line is if we have a fraction or could ever have a fraction, a decimal point in a number, then we want to pick a float or a double, okay, because integers will not represent anything with a decimal point. Height could have a fractional value. So I'm going to pick double because the other guideline is if you need something that's not an integer, go to double. Doubles are bigger than floats, so you'll never run into trouble if you do a double. When you pick double, you're going to see precision and scale. I pretty much just leave these alone. They say zero, but that's a little misleading because actually right now at the defaults, it will give you the highest precision available for a double. Okay? So let's just go ahead and leave that. Now, you might think that you could then edit these fields. And you'll find out you can't. In order to go in and edit these fields, we have to be in an edit session. It's a little bit interesting with ArcGIS because notice we can add fields to an attribute table. Oh, and I should mention, fields are columns. It's another word for columns. It comes from the database world. Field is just a column inside our attribute table. You can add and delete fields when you're outside an edit session. Then, to edit the contents of the field, you need to go into an edit session. So editor, start editing, just like we did for digitizing. I have multiple shapefiles open, so I need to pick tree to say that's the one I want to edit. And we have different spatial layer data, probably because our appraisal shapefile is a different spatial reference. Now, since we're editing attributes, that's okay. If we were digitizing, that'd be more of a problem. All of a sudden, we see that we can type in something here. Like in this case, I'm just going to type coastal redwood. Okay. We have lots of those around HSU. Now, I'm just making this up. Obviously, we want to be more careful if this was a real data set, but I'm just going to say maple. And let's say, something slowed down on me while I was typing. Not sure what's happening there. Mark is doing something interesting in the background while I'm typing. Oh well, ARC does that. Let's type Bristol cone pine. That's another species. I'm not sure what's going on with my computer. It's freaking out. It does that once in a while. No worries. Okay. Now, similarly with height, we can just type in numbers. Again, obviously, we want to have defined what these values are. We want to make sure they're all the same, probably have them in meters for the height of trees, and that would be something we'd enter into our metadata for the attributes. We would say height is done in meters from, say, the base of the tree to the top. Similar with species, these are common names. You might put scientific names in another column. All right, so go ahead and in your tree file, make sure you create some attributes. Make sure you're comfortable creating them and editing them. Should note that when we're done, we have to do a stop editing. Okay, and again, now that we've stopped editing, we can add a field. I'm just going to enter a test field to show you once again we can't edit this, but we can delete it. Delete field over here. And this cannot be undone. We're outside an edit session. The outside an edit session cannot be undone. So Control-Z won't work on this. That's okay, I'm going to delete that. All right, so that's editing attributes. Now, I'm going to go back to my parcel layer because there's another tool I want to show you very briefly. We bring up the attribute table. Whoops, I've still got this just showing selected. That's why it's empty. So I'm going to turn that off. And let's say we wanted to find all of the agricultural land and take a look at it inside of Humboldt County. This is where the field calculator comes in. Field calculator is another very powerful tool. Select by attributes comes in. Wrong tool. Select by attributes is very powerful because it allows us to select features on the ground that have things we are interested in. So brought that up by clicking here, select by attributes. Brings up this nice tool. Now we can go in and say, well, I want to take a look at what's inside this EXLU4 field, and I want to find values that are equal to, and I could type in agriculture here, but you can always misspell things, you can get the format wrong, so it's a little bit safer to do get unique values. Now I can double click on agriculture, there it is. If I click apply, it's now going to select all the areas that are classified as agriculture in Humboldt County. Ooh, big shapefile. And it takes a while to draw, but there's our agricultural. Not too much. Let's take a look at the timber areas. I'm just going to delete the word agriculture. I'm going to scroll down. I think we had one in here for timber production. Click apply. lot more timberland in Humboldt County than there is in other areas like Sacramento Valley, where you'd see a much smaller amount of timber, much larger amount of agricultural land. So it's going to vary from one area to the next. We can see where are there single-family residential parcels. Not too surprising, fairly small number, and they're located around the bay in Arcata, Eureka, and I'm not sure what's over here, some other towns and some up in the mountains, and up here in Trinidad. All right, so very easy to use tool and actually much more flexible. If you were looking for a piece of property that was of a certain size, we could type area, less than, so say we're looking for a small piece of property. You can click get unique values, but what's going to happen now is it's going to take a long time because there are so many values. This is really not one you want to use for get unique values. Instead, we would just say, well, I'm looking for areas that are less than 50 meters square. These small areas. I don't know if we're going to get any hits on this. Doesn't look like it. Ooh, we did. We got some pretty small areas. Single family residential, vacant. Interesting. Let's go ahead and do that with acres. So I'm not sure what that area of the units are. We should check the metadata for that. Let's say we're looking for something that's greater than 1 acre. Apply that. There we go. A lot of land that's greater than 1 acre. So for greater than 100 acres. Wow, there's still quite a few large parcels within Humboldt County, but not many that are over 1,000. Okay, so very flexible tool, very easy to use, greater than, less than, equals, not equal to, greater than or equals, less than or equals, you can use all these tools. We'll talk a little bit more about these tools later on in the class, but these are the basic tools to use. Now you will see up here is a select star from name of the shapefile where. This is SQL. This is a little subset of the structured query language that's used for databases. We'll talk about that also later in the class. For now, just play around with these tools, with the field names up here and get unique values. And careful typing down here. You can do it, but you may create errors and then you'll get an error back. Whenever you get in trouble, just delete everything and start clicking. And you'll have more luck that way. Cool? Have fun.